And now an update on a story that we've been following for the last few years. It was announced yesterday that the New York Public Library is dropping its ambitious central library plan, under which the historic stacks in the 42nd Street main branch would have been demolished to make way for a circulating library and two other library buildings, the Mid-Manhattan and the Science, Industry, and Business Library, would have been sold. Scott Sherman, a contributing writer for The Nation, has been reporting on this controversy for the past several years. He's talked about it on this show several times, and he's currently working on a book about it. I'm very pleased to welcome Scott Sherman back to our show to fill us in on this new detail.
Hi, Leonard.
What exactly did the New York Public Library announce yesterday? Did I summarize it pretty accurately?
Yeah, they had they announced that they're going to abandon their plan to destroy seven levels of stacks under the Rose Reading Room.
And abandoned rather than modified?
They won't say. Things are still a bit vague at this point, but it appears as if the stacks are safe for now. They also abandoned a plan to sell the Mid-Manhattan Library, which is a great victory for the critics.
Do we know what led up to this announcement? Was there a particular event that precipitated this change in plans?
The short answer is citizen power. Three groups, the Committee to Defend the New York Public Library, Library Lovers League, and Citizens Defending Libraries, they worked for over a year around the clock to save the 42nd Street building and the Mid-Manhattan building across the street.
A statement from the New York Public Library's president, Tony Marks, reads in part, "When the facts change, the only right thing to do as a public-serving institution is to take a look with fresh eyes and see if there is a way to improve the plans and stay on budget." What facts have changed recently that would have caused this change in plans? Just the pressure that you mentioned?
2 weeks. There have been three lawsuits filed. The most recent lawsuit was filed 2 weeks ago, and that lawsuit alleged that the Bloomberg administration, in its final days in office, essentially rubber-stamped the environmental review. So I suspect that third lawsuit had an impact, but NYPL is giving out almost no information at this point.
Well, a lawsuit means defending a lawsuit. Is this just becoming too expensive for the New York Public Library beyond the plans themselves?
In 3 years, they have not released a single internal document about the Central Library plan. And again, they're giving out very little information at this point.
Haven't there been – well, so the lawsuits, people are suing on what grounds?
The lawsuits are based on the fact that removing 3 million books from the 42nd Street stacks would eviscerate the historic mission of the library as a research center.
Last year, the library tried to get New Yorkers to sign a petition in support of the New York Public Library, which had a statement of support for the Central Library plan embedded in it. How did that go over?
It was very sneaky, and it blew up in their face.
Mr. Marks goes on to say in his statement, "That's why months ago we began a review of all programmatic design and cost elements of the renovation plan and why we are now proposing an alternative plan that we believe will best meet our original goals." Did they realize that the plan might cost substantially more than the original $300 million that it was estimated to cost?
That was reported in yesterday's Wall Street Journal. But look, Leonard, there are four questions here that need to be answered. The first concerns money. NYPL's architect, Norman Foster, was paid $7.9 million for a design that was canceled. But NYPL won't say where that money came from. Did it come from an NYPL trustee, or did it come from the library itself? In any case, it was very, very reckless of NYPL to pay Foster that much money. The library has deep financial problems, and it's an institution that's been in financial crisis really since 1895.
Well, Mayor Bloomberg had promised that the city would contribute $150 million toward the total cost. Do you think that when they went to Mayor de Blasio, he said, well, I'm not ready to go along with that?
Mayor de Blasio's role is unclear. I asked his press secretary yesterday to clarify. My sense is that Mayor de Blasio encouraged this development, but it's unclear at this point what actually happened.
One of the major concerns of scholars was that most of the research collection was going to be moved to storage in New Jersey and that they would have to wait several days to receive any book that they requested. Did the NYPL take those concerns into account?
Basically, off-site delivery means that you fill out a call slip and you get the book maybe the next day, but usually 2 days or even 3 days later. And people who use that research library never really got over their anger at the idea of having to wait 3 days for those books.
Because in the past they had to wait maybe
20 minutes, 30 minutes, yeah.
There were also concerns about the structural aspects of this plan.
From the very start, critics feared that by removing the stacks underneath the Rose Reading Room, that would undermine the Rose Reading Room itself because the stacks hold up the Rose Room. And that was Ada Louise Huxtable's principal objection to the Central Library Plan when she wrote an absolutely beautiful indictment of it in 2011.
Well, a number of critics have complained about the plan. You mentioned that Norman Foster, who's one of the most respected architects, was hired to do this. But when the design was unveiled, a New York Times architecture critic, Michael Kimmelman, described it as having all the elegance and distinction of a suburban mall.
Almost every architecture critic hated it.
I'm assuming that that also played a role in the NYPL's decision because they have to answer to trustees, don't they?
Of course they have to answer to trustees, but the trustees have been extraordinarily misguided in pursuing the Central Library Plan.
Well, you said that the new plans are unclear. Do we have a sense that the building will be renovated in some new way?
My understanding is that staff members were told yesterday that the books will not be returning to the stacks, that the stacks will simply remain empty. That is a huge problem. This library was designed by Carrere and Hastings precisely to hold 3 million books. So if Tony Marks, the president of the library, is now saying that those stacks will remain empty in perpetuity, that is a rather large problem because it means that in 5 years or 10 years, NYPL could try this again. And they could say, look, we have all this empty space. Let's try again to demolish the stacks and put computers and people in there.
Well, one of the reasons given for demolishing the stacks was that they lacked temperature and humidity controls. Has anybody proposed putting in humidity and temperature controls instead?
The NYPL activist groups have proposed that for over a year. And NYPL has never released a single cost estimate. They haven't released a single internal financial document about the plan. And they've never explained why they can't just upgrade the temperature control in the stacks.
So have all of the books been sent to New Jersey or have some been sent to other libraries like Bryant Park?
Many of the books are in the hands of a holding company called Clancy Cullen. Many of the books have been sent to Princeton, New Jersey. Not that many are in Bryant Park.
What will happen to the Mid-Manhattan branch library that was to be sold?
This is a very, very important question. And the question is, will NYPL actually fix the Mid-Manhattan library, or will they let it rot and sell it under a more business-friendly mayoral administration down the road?
And then there is the Science, Industry, and Business Library. Is that still slated to be sold?
It was reported yesterday that, yes, it will be sold.
You've been covering the story for The Nation for several years. And you're writing a book about it. Well, this is a whole new chapter, isn't it?
I think it gives me a conclusion to the book. But there are still lots of issues here that really need to be discussed, starting with the question of governance and accountability on the Board of Trustees. Mayor de Blasio really needs to appoint citizen representatives on the Board of Trustees to restrain the businessmen who run that board, who came very, very, very close to destroying not only one of the world's greatest libraries, but one of New York's finest buildings.
Well, right now, this is still something, this might seem rather unsatisfactory to you because the books have been removed. So is this a happy conclusion?
NYPL was very, very keen to start construction with Michael Bloomberg in office. They wanted to start construction last summer, and so they hastily removed 3 million books from the stacks in late 2012 and early 2013. My understanding is that some of those books were damaged when they were removed from the stacks. Tony Marks needs to provide, at the soonest possible date, complete list of all books that were damaged, including rare books that were possibly damaged, and photographs that were possibly damaged, because photographs were also in the stacks.
Well, were you surprised at all by this announcement yesterday, or did you see it coming?
Two things led me to think that the Central Library Plan was in trouble. The first is that a month ago, Gail Brewer, the Manhattan Borough president, basically forced Tony Marks to say that the sale of the Mid-Manhattan Library was unacceptable. The second thing is that, you know, for 2 years, this has been not a mass controversy. It's been a controversy. It's been a controversy for bibliophiles, bookworms, scholars, librarians, architectural preservationists. But in late February, this blew up on Facebook when a hugely popular website called Humans of New York featured one of the NYPO critics, and within 24 hours, that post was liked 250,000 times on Facebook, and it was shared 50,000 times on Facebook. So those two things, combined with a certain change of tone in Tony Marx's comments, a certain defeatist tone had crept into his language in recent weeks. That led me to think that the plan might be headed for the end.
Do you feel that you can claim some credit for getting this decision reversed?
You were the first journalist to pay attention to my story, so I thank you for that. But credit really goes to the three activist groups, a fascinating cross-section of New Yorkers, scholars, activists, who worked around the clock for a year and a half to defeat this.
And the Mid-Manhattan, you say we still don't know what's going to happen there. That's a very popular branch, isn't it?
It's a very, very popular branch. It's a wonderful space. It needs a lot of work. I'm not sure it needs as much work as everybody says it does. But the main thing is that that library needs to be fixed. And I would say perhaps ask Norman Foster to fix it. He's already received $8 million. Ada Louise Huxtable, in her wonderful piece, which was written on her deathbed, her conclusion was that Foster should be unleashed on Mid-Manhattan, and the results will be spectacular.
Scott Sherman, thank you so much for being on our show again. When is the book coming out?
Spring of 2015.
Look forward to talking to you about it then.
Thank you so much.